Recording progress.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have 6:30 on the nose. I will call this meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance led by Councilmember Feist.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thanks for coming out, everybody, real quick. Also, Dave, thanks for shutting that off. Pretty short meeting tonight. Everybody's got their holiday weekend to get to, so let's make this short. First thing we got here is public comment. Again, this is a time for public comment on all non-agenda items. Are there any public comment on non-agenda items?
Go ahead.
I'm down here all the time.
Oh. Go ahead.
You're up there. You go.
Dave Jensen, 401 West Gale. Well, it's Groundhog Day again, where an average Utah resident has to come down to a city council meeting to address recently completed construction pavement issues that would have probably never occurred, or the pavement failure would have been greatly reduced if the mayor and his public works director would simply enforce a simple material compaction specification prior to the lay down of the pavement when addressing sewer and water main failures that has been pointed out multiple times over the last several years. For example, the scenario on East Rigg Street, where it was recommended not to cut and remove a brand new seal and cover section within a couple of weeks of being laid down, which would defeat the purpose of the seal and cover altogether, but that cut removal pavement was completed during the fall of 2023. Now that same section of pavement that was labeled a safety issue to justify the work has become settling again, and has a dip that is similar to the condition of the pavement prior to the removal of the pavement and sealant cover in the westbound driving lane. While a hole in the pavement on North Thurman Avenue was not addressed in 2023, but is now ponding water. Normally, this would be just another residential street with pavement ponding issues, but now with very large, fully loaded semi-tractors, side dump trailers, with in some instances also an auxiliary trailer attached, traveling at excessive rates of speed through that residential neighborhood on a pretty regular basis, this street is being destroyed, similarly to West Yale Street and North Third Avenue, and will be in need of repair, thus again defeating the purpose of putting a seal and cover on North Thurman Avenue and also placing an unwarranted repair cost back on the average East Dillon resident, which if allowed to continue is not sustainable based on the size of this community. Similarly, now the pavement sections on Wiley Drive that were cut out and replaced when the sewer and water lines were installed for the town pump development are experiencing the same fate as East Rigg Street, where the material under the pavement is settling and thus causing dips in the travel lanes, along with one of the water valves now being totally exposed and having no pavement around it to support it, which is not good given the size and weight of the trucks traveling over that roadway. So those material compaction and pavement issues should be addressed quickly by the town contractor and RPA at no cost to the average East Dillon resident, since it's been less than a year since that work was completed and inspected. Finally, since city officials will be contacting the town pump with regards to the aforementioned pavement issues, they should inform the town pump group that there is an ordinance regarding the height of vegetation allowed within the East Dillon city limits, and that they are currently in non-compliance, along with the type of vegetation currently being grown on their property is impacting the residents on the east side of Wiley Drive, which is requiring additional vegetation spraying by the average residents, which is an additional cost being put onto the average residents, which is unacceptable. This issue also needs to be addressed promptly.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment?
Nikki Rogers, 3835 Meadowwoods. I'm here with my daughter, Sue Rogers. She's an upcoming freshman at East Helena High School. She just finished 3 years at EBMS. We're here today to inform the East Helena community about a teacher at EBMS who has been found to have sexually harassed a student. Nightmare started on January 26th after receiving a text from my daughter saying she was in the counselor's office. As this was not normal for her, I called. She picked up but couldn't talk. She was inconsolable, crying. She handed the phone to her counselor, who explained that a teacher made her feel uncomfortable. My husband and I wanted more information. We left work and rushed to the school. We met with the principal, vice principal, counselor, SRO. The SRO explained that there was no criminal or legal action and only the school could investigate. Months of phone calls, emails, letters, questions, and tears. On 3-5, we finally received the decision of formal complaint on the East Helena High School letterhead that reads as follows. Conclusion, when looking at the situation at hand, the main area of consideration is around whether or not this teacher's name, continued questioning, and the content around which the questioning was related violates the definition of sexual harassment in the Title IX statutes. This is defined as unwelcome conduct as determined by a reasonable person to be so severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive that effectively denies a person's equal access to the recipient's education, program, or activity. Through the various documents provided, it is determined by the East Helena decision maker that this threshold has been met with the interactions, with the student saying no multiple times, it being clear to others in the room that she was visibly upset by this interaction, it is determined that their equal access to the education program had been affected. Sorry. A teacher hired by the East Helena School District has been found to have sexually harassed a student, a 14-year-old girl. He continues to teach. Why? Because he's tenured. Tenure allows an adult to sexually harass this 14-year-old student and get away with it. In a written statement provided by this teacher during the investigation, he blames her for misinterpreting his immersion method, TPRS. He also mentions in his own words five other incidents where students, girls, have accused him of inappropriateness. We have advocated for removal of this teacher at the school board meetings and are not being told anything. The impact of one teacher's actions can affect these kids, and we need to protect them.
Hi, I'm Stu Rogers. I'm a 4.0 student. I have received an academic all-state selection for grades and lettering as an eighth grader in high school. This whole incident has made me feel weak, embarrassed, and humiliated. Even when saying no multiple times, he kept pushing and pointing at me, calling me out. I clearly was uncomfortable, my face red, and I was crying. Other students saw in the class, mouthing to me, "Are you okay?" Patting my shoulders and giving me comforting glances. When I had the chance, I ran out of the classroom. It is not fair that his normal continues while I had to change classes, my schedule, and have everyone talk about it, asking me so many questions where I couldn't say anything about it. Seeing him in school every day makes me feel so uncomfortable, especially when he walks into other rooms. How is this fair to me as a student? Thank you.
So thank you very much for your guys coming here. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Obviously we care. Yeah. Everybody here definitely cares. I don't know how much hope we have with this with school. We'll definitely have some discussions. But
thank you guys for listening.
Thank you. All right. Is there any other public comment on non-agenda items? Seeing none. In front of you, you have the approval of minutes for the June 18th, 2024 minutes. Is there any public comment on those minutes?
Yeah. Jensen, for all my sports. With regards to public hearing number 2, in addition to the sentence in the draft minutes, Dave Jensen provided 3 alternatives that would include the lost funding either by having the sewer districts pay an amount equal to what the average East Helena resident has paid to date, or by having the mayor, public works director, city attorney, and city clerk, along with city or along with council members, reimburse the city for the lost revenue out of their own salaries and with private funds. Make it equitable to the average resident by refunding a minimum of 15 months of additional fees that the other sewer districts did not pay back to the East Town residents. Simply not recouping the lost revenue at this point is unacceptable and a huge disservice to the average East Town residents, given the level of disproportionate costs that are currently being charged to the sewer fund. For example, over 2,000 hours of staff administrative time have been allocated during the current fiscal year, yet this still billing issue and non-recoupment of required revenue occurred. These statements should be included in the final statements.
Thank you for your public comments. Is there any other public comment on the minutes? have the minutes in front of you. I believe they are sufficient.
I'll move to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next up is the city court report. We don't have one on this one, do we?
We don't.
You know what? Next up is the department reports, and that first off is always Amy.
In the packet, I included what was in the card that was given to council at the last meeting regarding Rick Pfeiffer's tree. And then we have our Montana State Fund audit coming up on the 17th. Which reminded me that we haven't heard back about our fiscal year 23 audit exit interview. So I called the auditor and he says he's out a couple of weeks. So he forgotten, but he's reminded now. And we have some reappointments of planning and zoning commission folks. Agent, I think the roster's in there. I did email all of them to make sure they knew that we would be doing this and told them to get in contact with me if they didn't want to anymore. And I haven't heard from anyone, so I'm going to take that as a go ahead.
Ryan Loomis did send an email that he had resigned. They moved.
Oh.
And he had sent an email to
he said, I got
the
one.
Mayor and myself.
Okay. I think so. I may need to.
Clerk was on there, though.
He's still on here.
I know he's on this on this as I'm bringing up.
I need to update that.
And then he had recommended another individual to who I would recommend myself to. That's an out of city resident to fill that slot.
Kids.
We're still also actively seeking a citizen member for that one of those spots. We have vacant one on both of them, just so you know, if you have anybody in mind.
Yeah, I know. He just recommended someone for there out of city limits in that same email.
Okay.
Do you need it? Do you?
Yeah, or the name.
Ben's Gray was recommended.
Any questions with Amy's report? All right. Chief Sanders is excused. He is off, I think, vacationing with his family. So they've got a little cabin in Sealy and he's enjoying that. So that'll move us to Public Works Director Orr.
Okay, so just a couple things, not much. Guys should be done sewer jetting as of tomorrow. They have officially done the entire town with the exception of the forest, not the forest main, but the transmission main that goes out to the plant. Just too big for us to use our jetter on. So within this next fiscal year budget, you'll see in there where our P&C will be coming in to jet that. We're hoping to coordinate that. We're assuming that that'll be the company that does our slip lining, and we're hoping that we'll be able to coordinate those two activities together. The last time we did was in 17, so it's just to get that down family that was unexpected. So, but super big kudos and thanks to Jared and Scott. They spent a lot of time. They started in April 22nd is when they started, and they're just finishing now. And it's not that, I mean, it's not 8 hours every day, but things come up and they get pulled off of it. But 2.5 months of super gets a little old after a while. So appreciate those guys. We've got some upcoming meetings Monday. The 15th at 1, if you guys are available, and if everybody's available, form-wise, we can publicly advertise it. But we have some public presentations also scheduled for August 6th. But we need to talk about wastewater plant capacities, future operations going forward, and how we're tackling kind of signing will serve letters to this future development, continued growth, and dealing with the sludge issues and stuff. So there's a ton to digest. It's not an easy answer. So again, if you're available Monday the 15th, 1 o'clock, we'll have a meeting here. Just shoot me a text and let me know if we need to publicly advertise that meeting. I can do that. And again, there'll be public presentations starting on August 6th. Crews replace a fire hydrant in Porter and Grand. So that, and then next week, they'll be replacing the one at the end of Pacific Street. And then we only have one old water hydrant left to replace, which is still on Porter Street. And that will be budgeted for fiscal year 26. So next summer, we'll knock that one out. And then all those old ones are replaced. The bad news, unfortunately, over the weekend, we had an incident down at the pool. Somebody decided to try to drive through our picnic table, bleachers, and our vents. Luckily, we didn't end up with the Chevy at the deep end, but substantial damage down there. We'll be working with Mike and some people's insurance companies. Luckily, nobody hurt that I know of.
And we know who did it.
We know who did it, yeah. Highway Patrol's involved. But unfortunately, our brand new picnic table and bleachers are
destroyed.
That's a good way to
put it. Completely destroyed. They're totaled.
Yeah. So anyway, again, look, thank goodness nobody sitting in the bleachers or something when it happened. You know, there. So the good news is we got the raise grant, as you guys all know. So super proud of us all. Stealing your thunder a little
Not
bit.
Public
sorry.
Works.
Monday the 8th at 1 p.m. If you're interested, we're having a kickoff meeting with Staley, just trying to figure out what the next step going forward is. We did get a notification email just saying that, yes, we're getting it awarded. We really don't know much other than that. I mean, the time frames are super long. I mean, we're going to have a fairly aggressive schedule of trying to get this done in the next 2 years. So I think that we have until 2033, we're plenty safe there. And then lastly, if you're wondering what's going on out in the parking lot out here, it's coned off where Montana Internet brought in that fiber box. We're going to raise the parking lot up right there. It's a low spot. I think every city employee, especially the police, have fallen multiple times over the years. It just builds ice up really bad there. So this just kind of forced our hand to fix the parking. Kelly says he hasn't.
But no, I fell. No, hard.
Oh, he fell too. Anyway, it just kind of forced my hand. When they were going to come and fix the blacktop, and I looked at it, I thought, geez, this is just the perfect time to fix this low spot. So we're just working on scheduling out. Yeah, they do. So if you're wondering why it's not fixed, it's probably longest time I would think we'll have it fixed. Other than that, any questions?
Any questions for Kevin?
I have a question. What's going on with that pile of gravel on Main Street?
Oh, I'm a nice guy. What's that, Seth? Kelly's been naming me. So that homeowner did contact us. I didn't set a time frame with them. I did talk to them last week. They promised they would have it moved within a week. Tomorrow's the week. What it boils down to is, you know, they cut those trees down and just been trying to make improvements on the place. Really what it boils down to is they just got way more gravel in one load. They should have just done like two or three smaller deliveries, not realizing when they work 10 yards of material, quite how much 10 yards of material is. So we're working with them.
Okay.
They only had 1 yard to put it in.
It did seem like a lot. But again, they've been super upfront about it. I apologize it's been taking so long, but they're working on it. So, yeah, it's been a big improvement on that place for sure.
Yeah. Any other questions for Kevin? Okay. Next up is Chief Campbell.
Good evening, everybody. Been pretty uneventful since the last presentation I gave to you guys on Zoom last week. We are seeing a surge in gas line hits. We had another one yesterday. It was a private contractor. Fortunately for us, it was an auxiliary line that was hit after the gas meter, so we were able to shut the gas meter and prevent anything. That'll be at the homeowner's cost to do repairs. We've had a couple others with the environmental people that are cleaning or doing the yard cleanups. They've plugged on a couple gas lines and dislodged some meters. And then the internet people, I guess, are.
We've had a few run-ins.
Yeah. Are not being good to us. So we'll handle those as we get them. We're having a meeting tonight to discuss 4th of July action plan. I've talked to a couple of the other fire chiefs, made sure I had a copy of the incident plan for the valley. Just getting ready for that, for anything that may happen. We'll be manning our station on the 4th of July. We will also be manning our station during the rodeo. I had a really good conversation with the gentleman from the Rodeo Association. Went over to look at the grounds just so I had an idea what it was if we had to respond over there. My initial visit over there was because someone had called me and informed me that the rodeo grounds wasn't in Lewis and Clark County. It was just over the line. And I'm like, I don't think it is. So after talking to a couple people and going over there and talking to them, it is 100% in Lewis and Clark County and 100% in the city of Easton. So we squashed that room right off the bat. So we should be ready for that. We're gearing up for the festivities in town. We will be in the rodeo parade. I will be out of town this weekend for a deployment with the sheriff's office. We will also, from what I understand, the two Sanders will be also have us down here for the rodeo festivities on Friday and Saturday night to kind of help give the leading guys a little breaks and kind of overwhelm. The other thing I want to do is I just want to put this in the back of a seed in everybody's mind right now. With the increase in the subdivision housing, the subdivision off of Plant Road, and then the one between the schools, and then the new development of the fourplexes, as well as the pending subdivision across the road, is that we're going to have to start looking at upgrading some equipment. We're going to need, I won't say a new truck, because I was talking to some people the other day, some vendors. The truck that we have now, the current engine we have now, is 13 years old. It was $285,000 when we bought it. That truck right now is over $1 million. So we just need to look at something newer than what we have. What I'm looking at is we have a 1995 truck that was bought as an emergency when the old fire truck failed. It's never been compliant. It's never passed a pump test. It is a manual, which limits the ability to drive it to those of us who are a little older and can drive a manual. A lot of our newer people cannot drive a stick shift. So the other thing with it is it's very hard to get parts for. The last time we broke the accelerator cable, and it was 2 months finding one, just finding one. So it's getting to be an antique. It needs to be replaced. There's just nothing else we can do. We have to look at replacing it. Looking at getting something that's in the 10-year-old range, maybe 5 to 10-year-old range, that unfortunately we can get into is going to be about $400,000. So that's just something we're going to have to start thinking about so that we can keep. The great thing about having our own equipment is when you talk about the insurance safety organization, your ISO rating. Right now, we have one of the best ISO ratings for an incorporated small city. We're at a 5. It's about as high as we're going to go. Problem is, as we go up in developments and housing, and we don't follow suit with some of our equipment, our ISO rating is going to raise. We're just going to raise everybody's home insurance. I know I don't like that because I had enough tax increase this year that I'm still suffering from. So it's just something to think about. I'm just putting the seed in. I don't foresee it in this year's budget. I just don't think it's going to happen. But maybe next year, as we plan a little more, have some sit-down meetings, and talk more about it. And then either adding on to or a new station for us. That is the one big thing right now that's keeping us at a 5 in our ISO, is we have only one station separated by a creek or the river stream, whatever you want to call it. So if we were to get one on the other side of the stream, we would be able to go down to 4. That's would be a big increase, or a big decrease in everybody's insurance rates. So it's not just that I want, it's to the point now as the city grows, as everything else does, the need increases. So also in our budget this year, we're going to need an increase, or I put in for an increase in vehicle maintenance, the cost of those things, services and labor for those things has gone through the roof. We do have a new vendor that we're looking at to do our services for us. I have a laundry list of things that need to be done to those trucks. I don't want to dump a whole bunch of money into the old truck, but I do need to maintain what we have so that if the need arises, they're able to respond out of the station to take care of whatever call we're going for. So, that's it. I just want to make sure everybody had that little seed in their mind that we need to start thinking about that.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions or Chief?
Has the Northwestern Energy and the company that's contracting for the EPA, have they been contacted about all the issues that they...
So every time there's a gas hit, or a line hit, Northwest Energy is automatically called, and so is BLM Locate. I meet with those guys every time there's a hit. When we had the last environmental one down here, yeah, those guys showed up in force. There were supervisors and trucks pulling up everywhere. So,
and understandable that obviously Northwestern Energy will be called because of the issue, but as far as trying to maybe send something out or be more proactive for folks to not be digging without getting.
So if so, everybody's required to call 811 before they do. ELM's been really busy. I talked to John Kasmark yesterday. He's the local supervisor owner, but he runs ELM, and they are hiring 5 new people in Helena and trying to bring on 2 to 3 more in Butte. They are so overwhelmed with locates right now. They go out and locate. They have to be located at least 7 days prior to the dig. And the thing that the contractors need to be aware of is that he can locate, but he gets an 18-inch variance. So he can't exactly say it's right here. It's within 18 inches. So he has an 18-inch swath that it can be in. It's pretty generic. The one over here was kind of odd because the gas meter and everything sits up underneath the deck. And they just kind of, it's got a concrete slab around the in and the out. And they hook that slab. They didn't hit the line. They just hit the slab and pulled the meter.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge leak. They didn't even notice it for almost a day and a half. And then just finally built up a pocket there. We thought it might have been the substation. We get a lot of calls from people smelling gas when the substation vents. It happens once in a while. So it's there. But yeah, as soon as one of those is called, we're either getting a call with Northwest Energy, from Northwest Energy, they're calling them themselves. So everybody's notified. And then if it's an actual hit from the person digging or the contractor that's digging, they pay for that. It's all billed through Northwest Energy against a huge rate. So it's worth their while to do their 811 before they do.
On that note, Wes, not only do they pay Northwest Energy, there's a UFPP program run through the state, building codes. We run that building codes. And they're issued a fine. It is progressive if like companies like are going through it and they're not. And there's training. And those fines all go to pay for training for the 811 program. That's actually some really ugly guy in a blue hat issues those fines at state. It happens all the time, but you can notice what happens. Easton hasn't been bad comparatively, but there is some. When they get you a certain fine rate, it gets their attention. And they definitely contact people at my office at this building codes and seek some education.
Yeah. So we haven't had any actual blowing gas hits yet. There have been some in the other districts in the valley. Ours have just been minor things where you can smell it but you can't hear it or see it or anything.
Like that's the old product released.
It's a pretty good program. And the EPA was involved in the one over here. They did show up and the contractors weren't having it.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Seeing no unfinished business, that brings us to new business. First on the agenda is the telephone of the wind. Bridget contacted me and asked how to go about this and then came down, I'm assuming spoke to Amy in person, but she could have been on the phone. And went through the process and would like to talk to you about this program. So I'm going to turn it over to her now. You have her request in front of you, and there she is.
Ladies and gentlemen, esteemed members of the council. Thank you for allowing me to address you today. My name is Bridget Tilking, and I stand before you to share a heartfelt proposal, one that I believe will bring solace and healing to our community. Before I delve into the specifics, let me provide some context. I'm a mother of 5, 3 sons, 2 daughters, all born and raised here in East Helena, and we've had the privilege of calling this town our home for a very long time. However, tragedy struck our family on February 22nd, 2017. My oldest son, Sam, was taken from us by a drunk driver on Highway 12, just west of town, a mere 13 days after he turned 25. The pain of losing him in such a senseless way is indescribable, and the absence he left behind has left a void that nothing can fill. In my grief, I sought a connection and solace. I created a Facebook page in Sam's honor, hoping to keep his memory alive and find a way to maintain a link with him. Recently, that page led me to a YouTube video, a powerful testament to the healing power of what is known as a telephone and wind. Now you may wonder, what is
exactly a telephone in the wind. I have a short 5-minute video I would like to play for you, if I may.
What is missing? We pick up the phone and try to connect. Lee Callan explores the healing power of a long distance call.
In a corner of the Pacific Northwest, muffled by moss and trees that are centuries old, sits an out of place relic, a rotary phone that's connected to nothing.
Hey, Ellie Belly. How are you? I miss you a little girl.
Every few weeks, Andre and Aaron Sylvester and the rest of their young family trudge out to Priest Point Park outside Olympia, Washington, to use that phone to call Joelle, their 4-year-old daughter.
Oh, it's better. It gets easier.
Without warning, Joelle died last year from an infection. But out here, Joelle is somehow there, on the other end of the line.
Literally. I can hear
her. I always feel lighter, ready to go back into the real world without, you know, without my daughter.
The phone mysteriously appeared shortly after Joelle died.
No one was here, and I thought this might be a good place.
Put there by photographer and amateur carpenter, Corey Dembeck, as his way to grieve.
Yeah, I just couldn't imagine if something like that happened to my daughter. And it was just something I had to do.
I'm behind you. I'm behind you.
One of his own daughters was friends with Joelle. She's now 5.
I don't think I got how many people would really needed something like this.
For weeks, that phone was there and few knew, but then word quietly spread. Soon, complete strangers were braving the Northwest rain, making the longest of long distance calls. Lori Provo was one of them.
When you're grieving, you look for any avenue to try to connect that you can to make that emotional connection. And that's what the telephone I thought would do for me.
It did.
Tyler, it's mom.
She lost her 27-year-old son, Tyler, last year.
I'll be back to talk to you. Of course, it's very emotional. As soon as you pick up the phone, the tears flow. And I've been out here several times, and it's been the same experience every time. I have Kleenex in my pocket. You can't explain why the emotions are flowing as soon as you pick up that phone, but they do.
The desire to connect with lost loved ones is universal, especially when the end comes so fast. In 2011, in the wake of Japan's devastating tsunami, survivors started flocking to this small phone booth high on a hill, put there months earlier by a man who just wanted to talk to his cousin, who had died of cancer. For all the lost souls, the sea never returned. That phone of the wind became one of the few places to offer a kind of inexplicable solace. That idea had blown across the Pacific. Corey heard about it, and it stuck for reasons he still doesn't know.
I just thought that it would be perfect for now. And as far as I know, it wasn't at the time, wasn't one that I knew of in the United States.
Much to his surprise, that old phone helped Corey too.
When my mom passed away, I never really like dealt with it, I guess. Hey, Mom. It's me.
The impulse to call her, he says, just came out of nowhere.
I miss you. I guess I'll talk to you later. Okay.
It makes no logical sense to dial a phone connected to nothing. Yet, for the Sylvesters and countless others, speaking their grief to the wind seems to offer a certain kind of connection that heals.
I think one of the most dangerous things that you can do to yourself is to keep your feelings, whatever they are, locked up inside. Bye, Abby. I love you. Something so simple, an old rotary phone
right
on a tree. It's just crazy how much impact that has.
Whispers in the wind. You might not hear it unless you listen.
Well, I propose that we establish a telephone of the land at home as well. Sorry. Speaking of phones,
good lead in.
So we established one right here in East Helena, specifically at JFK Park. The location would be carefully chosen, close enough for easy access, even for those with disabilities, yet far enough away to offer some privacy. Visitors could find solace by the creek, dialing in their emotions, sharing their thoughts with those friends and loved ones that have passed. Imagine standing by our creek, surrounded by nature, and having a private conversation with someone you miss dearly. It's a place of reflection, healing, and connection, a sanctuary for those grappling with the loss. To help you visualize the project, I did bring a mock-up of what the phone might look like. I'm open to any questions or concerns that you may have, and I sincerely hope that together we can create a space of healing and remembrance for our community. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on the telephone request? Seeing none, Council.
Are you willing, Bridget, you and your family, to kind of maintain it and check on it and make sure that if it needs something or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this board will be engraved. It's not going to have paper on it. It'll be engraved, it'll be lacquered. There's going to be maybe a little roof over it to kind of help with some of the weather. But yeah, I'm sure I have a lot of them. I'm really small and I don't really do them.
It might need an instructional video for my kids to use it. They would have no idea how to use that thing.
What do you mean? We still got one.
they would look at that and go, I don't even know what that is. Yeah, that's
fun. There are some trees by the creek just kind of off the path that would work really well.
Kevin could upon approval, Kevin would be more than willing to go to there and find a suitable spot, I'm sure. Assuming. That's the will of the council.
I just worry about kids being the other assholes that lies, you know?
It's a fair concern, yeah.
I did go down and take a walk, and there's a place where you can see the park and you could see where the phone would be. So it's not quite as hidden where kids, if somebody was doing something with it, they wouldn't be so hidden, but it is far enough away that you could have a private conversation.
My hope would be that if someone saw what it is about, then maybe they would think twice about doing something. But I give that to the JFK.
All in favor. They put up a library, a small library, like those little ones in Geological Council meeting, went out and did it like commencement that night. And within 2 hours it got smashed, which was absurd.
Right.
But again, I think if you place it correctly, you'll be fine. It was.
Well, kids
don't do it. He tried not, like, they had the same discussion to me, like, nah, it'll be fine. And within like 2 hours, somebody said, golly, man.
Well, I would make motion to allow the phone, if you're
I think it's a nice idea. I don't know about vandalism. We never know that on anything we put up. Little libraries or whatever, you know. It's
bleachers.
Yeah.
Picnic tables. Makes concrete picnic tables, by the way. Concrete. Fully concrete. Yeah.
Makes a lot of noise when people hit them. Don't.
Also put a lot of glass in
there. Really?
Yes. We were down in the playground when had granddaughter down there. You know, so we were at the other end, but saw her come greening in, hit that. I thought we were going to hit all the ones, or whoever was driving, it was far enough.
It was a sheep.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought they were going to hit all the ones in the other. Called 911. They'd already received two or three calls. So. Mm-hmm. But that's off the point. I still made the motion.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Just logistically, just work with Kevin. You can work with him, right? Kevin is on vacation the rest of this week.
That's
so, like,
I still have to go get it engraved.
Sure. Just, he'll work with you and find a good spot. And just so we know where it's at, and so that our people can, as much as they can, pay attention to it and keep track of it. So, all right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. You're up next.
Okay, I'll walk back.
Right.
All right. So, next on the agenda is the Robert Petchen Associates Task Order Number 27, Public Works Director Orr. Doesn't walk that fast, does he? This is just for some changes for the lift station, and the next one is for the, I believe, for the screw auger, but yeah. As you guys can probably tell by reading it, there's been some changes in the order for the service we're getting on the sewer plant. I'll let Kevin speak to it further.
Philly did air, is that what you're telling us?
Go to the podium.
I'm going to go
get there now.
Okay. So
he's walking right past us.
This is just a housekeeping item. These are both projects that were budgeted for last year. This is just Brad getting his hand slapped from Power to the RPA if they don't have signed task orders. So the first one is task order 27. This is the Manlove lift station funding and design scope of work. Again, this is being reimbursed from the Habitat for Humanity, Power Townsend, and American Chemet. That one. The second one is
they're separate on the agenda.
Oh, they're there. Sorry.
Is there any public comment on the task order 27?
Just have one question. Can you say that again? Who's paying for that entire change order on 27?
These aren't change orders. So these are just the task orders for the
task orders. Task orders.
Task orders. But there's no Eastern money in that at all.
No, there is. The total amount, our proportionate shares is 200 and some thousand of the entire project, including this engineering.
I have a question.
Yeah.
It says here that Chemet, I don't know how much they're putting into that, but it sounds like they plan on trying to resurrect their line.
We don't know either, Don. So here's what we know about that is we did, on that funding agreement that they all signed, there was two scenarios. One was if they had to connect their existing facility or just the new facility. They did hire a company to come in and pipe burst their sewer line. We have no idea if it's repaired or not. We don't inspect private services. They say it's fixed. We're assuming that it is. The one thing that we actually have to set up a meeting with American Chemet. The last conversation that we had with them was they said that if they fixed their old line, that they did not feel like their shares were quite enough because it's really minimal. They hinted that they were willing to put more money at it. I have no idea what that is. And I have no idea if they'll stand true to that. But Bill Shropshire from there said that he felt that they needed to have a larger share if they ended up fixing their old line just for the new facility. So I don't know the answer to that yet. We're still looking at that.
I just saw that in there. So.
Yeah, they did pipe burst that existing line. So I'm assuming that.
I guess when it backs up, then they'll be hooking in like they should have.
It is their service line. It goes underneath the highway. It's crazy. Which is a good thing because it's not our line.
That's right.
Highway.
I have a question on Article 1, page 16. Near the intersection is a very big place. Where did it say Article 1, scope of services, page 16. Fourth line.
I think that's what I have.
It shall include design and funding support for a new lift station near the intersection of Old Highway 282 and Manlove Avenue.
That's because not a
fine near.
So they're looking at the city property off of Manlove.
Okay.
So and this is that's where we have to put it now. Originally, we were trying to get an agreement with American Chem because it works better to be on American Chem property. They're not open to that. So the city property is on the north side of Manlove, just right there. But that's the very first house.
So does that need to be defined?
With the DEQ stuff, it will. I think as far as the path there, that's why I'm not for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What question I have?
Good question.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve. I did. You asked my question already.
No, I
did. I asked for public comment and you asked my question, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Can we get a second?
I have a motion and a second.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Right next to this, task order 28. Kevin. Yes.
So task order 28, again, budgeted last year, it's just the design of Clark Street or Main Street, whichever one you want to claim, they both use it, but sewer all the way from Washington Street down to basically behind the south behind Main Street Park. Line's failing, it's old, lots of bellies, lots of settings. It's also the line that we're going to have a temporary agreement that the first phase of repair can hook into that. They're just finished up design. Both of these, by the way, I should have mentioned, both of these, this we're quite a bit under the anticipated costs on these, so it's which is great. But that's the last task order of this, is the Clark Street replacement. And the plan with that is the way that that's written up, Kelly, Pete, and I'll have to talk a little bit through this budget cycle. But we're debating whether we'll put that entire project out to bid or just do a couple blocks each year. We basically have until about 27 to get it replaced. So we're starting to do that and look at some funding on it. So hoping to do that.
Any public comment on task order 28?
Any chance to fall on this? Like on 27? Park, the 28. The group manager who's billing at $231 an hour is billing more time than the project engineer. Nobody has a problem with that. I'm not sure who is negotiating on that on behalf of the city, but they have one of the most expensive people in the whole consulting firm involved in all those phases. They're actually billing more than the project manager. That is absolutely not right and should be adjusted.
Thank you for your public comment. Is there any further public comment? Council.
Move to approve task order 28.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. All right, that leads us to the reappointment of the Zoning Commission members. You have the Zoning Commission and the Planning Board in front of you. The Zoning Commission only has one member we need to reappoint on there, and that is Terry Casey, correct?
Correct.
So my plan is to hopefully reappoint Terry. She's done a great job for numerous years. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't. We're not really in a position to turn anybody down on these things.
She still wants to play.
Is there any... Terry's been a great servant of the city for years. I need to sell her. But is there any public comment on the appointment of Terry Casey, of Terry Casey to the Zoning Commission? Seeing none, council.
Make a motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next up is a reappointment to the Planning Board, and there are three members here, and there will be a renewal of Mr. Loomis as well. Three members to we are looking to reappoint are Gloria Soja, Terry Casey again, and Gene Riley. Again, all members have been doing a great job on this for years. I don't even know how long Gene Riley's been on this. Do you have any idea? Long time.
She's been on there. Well,
you would know.
Yeah, she's been on there probably about 6-8 years.
Yeah.
The only question on her is she has to be okayed by the county, by the county commissioners.
Yep. So I think you guys make the approval and then we forward it to the county.
Okay. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure which way it went. When she came on, it was approved by the county commissioners that she could, and then we acted on it.
I think that was the initial.
That was the initial when she came on.
Was we read up to her one more time? I think we did.
That's probably the last time anybody said anything, but yeah. We can double check what we're doing.
No, it doesn't matter. I knew there was a procedure.
No matter the order, just as long as.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to be.
I don't think they're going to be. As long as she wants to serve, that's fine.
I highly don't have any issues. Is there any public comment on the proposed reappointment of Gloria Soga, Terry Casey, and Gene Riley to the planning board? Seeing none, council.
I did email Ryan's email.
Thank you.
Just so you're aware. But that's the only comment. Otherwise, I'll move to approve.
Motion to approve.
Awesome.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. I guess that done. All of these are people who reached the mayor's report. Okay. Well, I had a Board of Health meeting. It's kind of an interesting one. It has pretty centric on East Helena, actually. It was the action item to reduction of the lead levels the EPA has proposed. I had some discussion. Wes actually called me about some of the verbiage in there. Upon reading it, it was clear they wanted to reference a document. It's a federal document, and that's why they did it that way. We did discuss it in the meeting with Commissioner Rolfe as well. We decided to leave it as is because they referenced that document, and if that document changes, then you have to go back. But we had the discussion. So I appreciate your input on that. Thank you, Wes. Kevin mentioned we had a pool wreck. That's been a thing. Kevin was on vacation, and he sent me pictures because he wanted to ruin my Sunday. Thanks, Kevin.
Sorry.
Good news on that, though, Kevin didn't really highlight, is that the insurance company's already been in contact with the city, so that we will be getting reimbursed for these items. Colton and his guys did a great job of cleaning it up, making the pool ready, just jumping in there. Apparently, Don did a good job of alerting the police. Yeah, how about it? I didn't know you did that role. Nice job, buddy. Good job.
I was late.
Yeah.
I don't dial as fast as other people, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, when you stick your fingers in, it doesn't dial. I don't know.
Really appreciate that, though. Just we got on that and we got the person apprehended and hope we reimbursed. So, as you know, we're trying to replace those paper cables one by one. They're expensive and they look really good. Right until they get hit by a car, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they could have ended up in the pool.
That's what we mentioned. Like, good thing no one's in the pool. Ben's got some damage, but yeah, all in all, it could have been worse. But we're with Amy, getting Colin. Colin's first day was yesterday. Yep. He's already got a building permit to review, and this is going to be a bit of a process to get our systems established, but I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be real good. It's new, and we're working on it.
We were very nice to him. He got a triplex. Right off the bat.
Any residence thing he gets is not going to blow his mind. He does giant commercial things at Big Sky every day. The triplex is going to blow his mind. But yeah, he's on it. You guys all probably got the email from the police chief regarding the sheriff. There's been some back and forth there. Chief's out of town. We're waiting to correspond. He would like to set up a meeting with us. We'll do so. Moving forward. Beyond that, what did we do? Oh, had a little meeting down at the school. Nothing really happened. Turns out we got our raise grant. I know you guys are all excited and we're all excited. Yeah, thanks, Kevin. You guys were all there to see it too. I really appreciate everybody's work. Everything everybody did to keep true to that. I don't need to tell you guys how transformative that is to the city and how impactful that can be, and everybody that put effort into that, I just really appreciate. Even Kevin did a little bit, and not other than talking about it here, he was a little helpful. But I just in the interim of having that happen, the number of people that have reached out to me and expressed just thank you guys for getting this done. So I want to make sure you guys are all hearing that as well. That I've gotten so many people that reach out to me and say, that is such a good thing for the city. Really appreciative. So we all do really good work here, and we're a good team, and we do that work in for the people, and like they're seeing that. So congrats to all of us.
How much was that? Just for record.
$10.227 million.
Yeah.
$10,227,000 and some change.
227.
The 227 part mattered.
I think the 10,000 mattered.
The 10 million.
Big meeting was there, and I, 30 seconds before Senator Chester spoke, he told me he was going to announce it. And he was apparently late 5 minutes because he was in the parking lot with Secretary Buttigieg telling him he's going to do it. And basically, they were telling him they're not ready yet. And he's, I guess, decided that he didn't care. He was going to announce it. And so they told him, well, the exact text message I saw said, tell JT to live his best life.
Okay.
So, again, so many people put a lot into that. I'm just really, really proud of everybody's work. And it means a lot. So that was a good day. I did not go back to my regular job. I bought some people some beers. So that I appreciate it. So, yeah, that's it for me. Nobody questions? I'm not very excited. Councilmember reports, Councilmember Dahl.
I was at the Raise Grant meeting, and that's about it.
All right. Councilmember Leland.
I guess if that counts for something, I was there too. That was all I did.
And you brought that guy you live with.
Okay, hi. My plus one.
Councilmember Feist.
Also got to attend the Raise Grant announcement. That was great. Went to Valley Bank Business After Hours. Chamber, first time that they've ever hosted an After Hours in East Helena. Tons of people showed up. It was great. Another good thing for East Helena, just to show the commerce and what's going on here. Went to coffee with the chamber. Had another opioid abatement trust meeting. Got food poisoning in between, so I went to that remotely. We had two presentations from one from the jail. And one from Helena Public Schools. We're waiting on the state to finish the other regions together still, but waiting to disperse the funding that we have. And missed the chamber meeting, but was told there was nothing too exciting to report to you all. I want to commend Kevin. I had to also call Kevin on Sunday while I myself was on vacation, because I got a call from someone that said that the water was locked in the park, and they ran to the park, how did they get the water? And so I called Kevin and said, how in the world am I supposed to get this person their water? He answered his phone, did not realize he was on vacation, let alone it was a Sunday afternoon. So as always, thanks, Kevin. You're always one to answer and take our calls and help out folks. So appreciate that very much.
I try to call Kevin every Sunday.
I call him every Monday. I call him every Monday and tell him about the gravel pile. Every single Monday, I say, Kevin, the gravel pile is still there. How's that going? He was not here this Monday, so I told him today. He gets to hear about it every single time he sees me. He enjoys it. We're having a good time.
I called Kelly about that gravel pile.
Who was laughing because he tells Kevin all the time because Kelly's gotten other calls.
I was never worried about the gravel pile, to tell you the truth.
Have you not got any calls? I guess we
can jump in. And I can miss it driving down the road.
It's getting further and further out there. I don't know.
I'll just giggle because it looks like he started in front and wanted to continue to the back. So now he has to push his wheelbarrow through the gravel to get to the
back. Of course, if you go too far back, then it's hard to get any hands.
Yeah, because there's no alley access.
Councilmember Ferguson.
I don't have anything.
All right. Pete.
I don't have anything to report. I was gone for 2 weeks for some Army training, so thank you for your service, for letting me go do mine. No, it's not awesome, but it was just an Army school in California. Got to see an Oakland A's game and a San Francisco Giants game. Walk-off home run, bottom of the ninth at the Giants, first with Dodgers, sold-out stadium, 40-some-thousand fans. It was awesome. Between those games, I did Army stuff. Oh man, I was funny. I was hanging out with a guy from Kentucky. He's like, man, watching TV back home, I thought this place would be awful. This is great. And I was like, yeah, San Francisco's a good town. There were, issues, but he was blown away by how walkable and fun we had, how much fun we actually had. Nice. We went through San Francisco one Saturday, and the next, we went to that game. And he was blown away, like, man, this is not what I expected from watching the news back in Kentucky. I was like, nah, man, I mean, it's a big city. There's issues. But we had a good time. Opposite ends of the spectrum. Great time. Me and him hung out the whole time. He was good news. Walk off home run, bottom of the ninth, 40,000 folks, 9 o'clock. Oh, man, amazing.
Anybody's curious about the difference between officers in the J Corps and the National Guard and the enlisted man? Growing up, my father brought back home pictures of the desert and grasshoppers, and Pete sent me pictures of baseball games. So
that is,
if anybody's curious about the difference,
there's an NCO academy there, and they were up every morning yelling and hollering, waking me up like, God, I only have a class till like 8 o'clock.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, that brings us to the payment of the bills. I don't know how we do that. Any ideas?
How will we pay the bills?
I have a motion to pay the bills. A second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. I'll adjourn this meeting at exactly 1 hour, 7:30.
I'll be helping.
Nothing you can do.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Capitol yesterday?